It's Plant Talk on KFGO with retired horticulturalist Dave Decock. This is the longest running show on KFGO for over 40 years. Dave has been here. And we are sponsored by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans, The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Dave Decock, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
Well, it's good to be here.
Let's just get right to the phone lines right off the bat here. Jerry is waiting for you.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Always enjoy your show. A couple of questions. It seems like every spring I've had brown spots in my yard. And I have irrigation, fertilized. And I think, I wonder if I fertilize sometimes too much. I fertilize 3 times a year. That's the Tessman commercial fertilized 22-0-3. Am I fertilizing too much? I do it like Memorial Day, 4th of July, and then normally about Labor Day.
Well, the big thing with the summer fertilizing, Jerry, is if you do a lot of watering, it's not a problem. If you're like me and you're cheap and you don't do watering in the summer, usually then you want to fertilize just in the spring and the fall.
No, but I have irrigation, so it gets lots of water.
Yeah, I don't think that the fertilizing has anything to do with it. Does the grass come back in those spots, or do you have to replant?
I have to reseed.
Reseed. Now, there's no dogs around that might be doing it.
No, it's too big an area, and it seems like every spring they've got different parts of the lawn to reseed, and it just, I know, it's weird.
Now, the other possibility is sometimes snow mold can kill it, too. If you have dead spots where there's snow banks or something, it could be the snow mold that's doing it.
Yeah. I usually mow my grass really short the last cutting, not have grass on top.
Yeah, the problem, that's okay if we get a lot of snow early. If we get a real open winter, then it's kind of risky mowing real short. Now, there's no problem in the fall. Before you go into winter, it's all fine though, right?
Yes, uh-huh. Great lawn.
Now, see, it's very unlikely it would be a disease. The only thing it could be would be snow mold, because usually your lawn diseases are active when the grass is actively growing. The diseases aren't active in the winter. That's what makes me suspicious that it's not a disease.
What would you recommend?
Boy, I don't know what to do. What you could do in the spring, when it first greens up and you got the brown areas, if you really want to do it, NDSU's got a plant diagnostic lab.
Oh.
And you could take a sample where you maybe a 6-inch square piece of sod where half's green and half brown, and take it up to them and let them check it. And if there is a disease doing it, they'd find the disease. Usually the disease is active right in the area where you go from the dead to the alive.
Okay.
So you basically, what's that?
Take it to where in the spring?
There's a plant diagnostic lab up at NDSU.
Okay. Okay, I'll try that.
That would be the only thing I would do. If it's a disease, they would find it.
Okay. Other question I have, it seems like we've got a nice garden spot. We have a curved off and plant and have shrubs, and then we do usually ring around the outside with marigolds. And this year it seemed like we get plenty of rain, but they just did not grow at all. I mean, it's
the marigolds,
fertilizers, yeah.
Now, that the only other possibility is you could do a soil test to find out if there's anything wrong with your soil or if you need more fertilizer. That would be a possibility,
yeah. Put the fertilizer in before you plant, probably, yeah?
You can do that, and you can do, during the growing season, you could use something like Miracle-Gro and use it every week, too. Just something you spray on the foliage, and that would give it a boost.
Okay, thank you so much, Dave.
Sure. Okay, Jerry, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have a question for Dave, you can call in now, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. Plant Talk, what's the difference between Creeping Charlie and Creeping Jenny?
Well, Creeping Jenny, I think that's just a name for bindweed. There's a bindweed. Creeping Charlie is a low-growing, low-growing weed in the lawn that has blue flowers. Creeping Jenny, if my memory is right, is a type of bindweed, which has bigger leaves and is a much bigger plant. So usually in lawns, the vast majority of time in lawns, it would be Creeping Charlie.
Someone else says, when should we start indoor seeds for a second harvest of a fall vegetable?
I guess that would depend on what kind of vegetable you want to plant. If you were going to plant things out, you'd want to determine what kind of vegetable it is before you start trying to do that.
Okay. Suggestions on what to spray apple trees with, and should I spray until fall harvest?
Well, we always use Liquid 7. There's also something new out which works. Usually I sprayed about once a week with Liquid 7, starting about the 25th of June, and depending on what variety it is. If it's a Haroldson and it's very late to mature, then you can spray into August and maybe even to September. If it's something earlier maturing, of course, you can quit spraying sooner.
Okay. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Betty is next.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. See, I thought that at the Maple Lake, I have a ton of hosta. It looked really, really nice. And last weekend when I came, I don't know if it's rabbit or deer. Pardon?
What was it that was eaten up, Betty?
My hosta. They didn't bother the white and green ones, but the nice the nice big green ones are the ones that are, let's say, decapitated because the leaves are all gone.
The leaves are all gone.
Yeah.
Boy, I really don't know which it would be. Either one of them could certainly do it. Deer, of course, are going to eat a lot more than the rabbits are going to eat. So if they all got polished off on the weekend, I would be more suspicious of deer because the rabbits will eat on them, but it takes them longer to get them chowed down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering, if it was deer, because just down the road from us, there's a gentleman that feeds deer.
Oh, sure. It could be then. You may want to try and put some kind of repellent or something around that, something with pepper in or something like that that is going to make it offensive to them. And you could spray that on the ground around and on the leaves, and hopefully that would deter them.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks,
okay,
Betty.
Okay, Betty, we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Is it an old wives' tale? I think we've talked about this before, Dave, that human hair will deter...
That's something which I don't know if it worked very well with rabbits because they're so used to us.
Sure.
They're probably used to that odor already. With deer, I guess I don't know, but I know that people have tried doing that, putting human hair around.
I don't know if they go to
a barber shop or something and get the hair and put it out in their garden. And some people claim it works. I guess I don't know.
I don't either. Just thought I'd throw it out there. This is Plant Talk with Dave Decock. We'll continue to take your lawn and garden questions. The phone lines are full. Stay there. We will get back to you. Gene is the first up. Rick, Caroline, we'll get to all of your questions when we come back here on KFGO. Plant Talk is on the air with retired horticulturalist Dave Decock. We'll get back to the phone lines here. Dave, Gene is next up.
Hi, Gene.
Hey, Dave. Just to comment on the gentleman who called about was having the grass go dead here and there in his yard. We've had a real problem with the grub worms. They'll cut a square in there like you wouldn't believe, and it keeps moving.
Right. Are they dead in the spring right away, or is it dead later on?
Well, it's a little bit later on, but it doesn't take long. It's usually by the middle of June or first part of June, you'll notice it. And if you're by the lakes area where you got raccoons from the river, they'll come up and you'll see the little holes plug up the grub.
Yeah, they'll tear your lawn up. There'll be spots all over.
Yep.
But what he could do is, he got the dead spots. If it is grubs, he could dig that turf up and check underneath there, and he would find the grubs.
Yep, that's right. And then, like I said,
and if that's the case, then of course he's got to get something to treat for white grub.
Yep, there's a chemical you can get. It's a powder granular, and you just sprinkle it on there, and then all of a sudden it'll move over to the next guy's yard.
Okay.
So
sounds good, Gene.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's get to Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Well, hi, Dave. Hey, I enjoy your program. I've been listening for many, many years.
Thank you.
I got a question on my peppers, and that's not any general pepper, not just bell peppers, hot peppers, all kinds of peppers. And I've been gardening for 40-plus years, and I have two gardens in two different locations, and all the peppers react in the same way. They look sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the heat has always done them good. Last year they were struggled ripening peppers because it was so cold and wet. But this year, I live in Wahpeton, and we had fair rain. I mean, the adequate rain, and with this heat, I thought they'd be doing good. And I don't know,
right.
I sprayed them one time because I thought maybe it was bugs, but I can't find anything
right.
on them. And I don't know, have you heard of anybody else as they having this issue with them? They just look, they're not growing real well. They're slow growing, and they just look like they're half wilted, kind of. And they're not dead and they're not dying, but they're not going anywhere and they're not producing.
Now, if they're wilting, are they wilted worst late in the afternoon?
No, they just kind of look like that all the time, as far as I can tell. You know,
okay.
when I'm ever out there, they just the leaves are just kind of a little bit semi curled, but yet they're not wilty.
Okay.
I mean, it just looks like
okay.
they're thick.
Okay.
You could
try a Miracle-Gro on that. Or something like that on them and see if that does any good. The other possibility,
Dave, in the past when so many peppers, if you give them too much fertilizer, they don't like that.
Right.
I've had reactions from too much fertilizer versus less fertilizer with pepper plants.
Yeah. See, it's not using a Miracle-Gro or something like that and mixing with water. One of these. Water applicator things, you put it in, you fill it with water, and you put it on the
yep.
hose and spray it on. That's not very likely to cause any damage with fertilizer. If you put fertilizer in the soil, that's a lot more likely to cause damage. But an application just on the leaves, that usually lasts a week or so, and you got to do it again. So it really isn't that much. So that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
I guess I haven't heard of anybody having problems with them this year. I know that if it's too hot, they don't set fruit good. I remember last summer, my tomato crop was horrid, and we had a lot of heat, too, and I thought it'd be a great tomato year, and it wasn't. But tomatoes and peppers are, you know, as far as heat, they're pretty similar. So it may be just the intense heat, too, that's causing the problem. But you could try a dose of... water application type fertilizer, see if that peps them up. Otherwise, I guess if they're not dying and there's not insects, it may be just the weather too.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
But I don't have a good solid answer for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks,
Thank
Rick.
You. Appreciate it.
Caroline is
sure.
next.
Bye-bye.
Dave.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Dave. Say, my question is, well, I got two of them. One of them is they have these weeds. They're real little. They look like clover, and they have little yellow flowers. And they're kind
mm-hmm.
of taking over my lawn in front here.
Mm-hmm.
And I sprayed
mm-hmm.
them once with dandelion and weed killer. It didn't seem
mm-hmm.
to bother them much. Should I do it again,
right.
or is there something else?
Oh, sure. You could do it again. The other thing you could try, a regular dandelion killer may not do the job, but Ortho's got a product that's for hard to control weeds that might work better.
Oh.
The other thing to keep in mind when spraying weeds, if it's hot and it's dry and you spray weeds, the spray doesn't work very good. If you get a good rain or two and the weeds are vigorously growing, and then you do an application of weed killer, that's much more effective.
Oh, I didn't know that. And the other
yeah,
thing is,
they're
kind of growing in my irises, my perennials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
mm-hmm.
my irises are really getting tight, you know, too many roots and stuff?
Right,
Would
right, right.
Is it dangerous to multiply or separate them and replant them? No?
Oh, the iris. The iris. No, usually you wait until late July, early August to do iris.
Okay, so I should leave them alone till.
I leave them alone now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you answered my question. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you again.
All right.
Bye bye.
This is Plant Talk on KFGO. We'll be back with more of your questions in just a moment. Plant Talk is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. It's Plant Talk on KFGO. Dave Decock is with us here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Al is next. Dave?
Hi, Al.
Hi, Dave. Say, I'm going to be seeding about 2,000 square feet of grass, and I have a couple of questions for you related to that. Number one is, do you know anything about, have you had success with grass seed that has the seed and the fertilizer and the mulch all in one, whether or not that is worth the investment and if it really works? Number two, are we getting to the point in the year where seeding grass is probably not a good idea until it cools off a bit?
Well, I guess if it was me, I'd wait till after Labor Day.
Oh, really?
Because it's going to be cooler then, and we're going to get more rainfall. Do you have a sprinkler system or not?
No, I don't, but we got 0.8 inches of rain here the other day, and so now I've got a mess.
Yeah, I know, but the problem is one of these days, I have a feeling the rain is going to shut off, and when it does, trying to keep that much lawn wet is going to be tough. But if you decide you want to go ahead and do it, the grass seed with the mulch is a lot better than just regular grass seed, because the mulch is going to help hold the moisture. You won't have to water as often if it's got the mulch with the grass seed.
Okay, but that's a good investment, Dennis. Took my money.
Oh, for sure, especially if you're going to do it now.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, Dave. Appreciate
okay.
it.
All right, Al. Sure. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have room for you on the phone lines, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. Bonnie is next. Dave?
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Dave. I have four deep rose salvias that I've had for 2 years now, and a couple of them are kind of growing too fast, so they tend to flop over. Should I trim those off? No.
Oh, you certainly could cut them. You certainly can cut them back. When you do cut them back, if you cut just above a leaf, that little bud that's next to the leaf there, that will come out and give you new growth. So if you've got some that are way out of hand, you can certainly do that, and they will send new growth up.
Okay, great. And then I had one other question.
Sure.
With the Stellas, what's the best time to split those up?
Usually daylilies, peonies, and lilies we do about Labor Day.
About Labor Day. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for answering my questions. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
No problem. Call again anytime. Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a question in our text club here, Dave, that says, my dwarf Korean lilac trees are very sparse on leaves. They did, however, bloom. They are about 4 years old, and I don't want them to die. What do you recommend?
Well, the thing, lilacs like it on the dry side. They like a lot of sun. So if you've had a lot of moisture, that can be a problem. And if you haven't had, don't overreact with too much watering, because too much watering can be the doom to lilacs. So be careful with that. What you might do is you could try some fertilizer with, a foliar application of fertilizer, see if that helps. If you do that, that may give them a little more pep. But the one thing is, don't overreact and do a lot of watering, especially if you've had good rain. That can be a serious problem.
Sounds good. Let's get back to the phone lines. Tim is next.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. Say, I have a question. I have some new grass that's about a month and a half old, and I've got a lot of weeds in it. What's a good thing to spray on that?
Well, I would try a normal dandelion spray. Now, the thing to keep in mind, though, is that after you plant new grass seed, it has to have come up and be mature enough to be mowed twice before you do any spraying. Use a dandelion spray. And again, keep in mind, if the grass isn't vigorously growing, or if you haven't been doing a lot of watering, with this heat, it's going to be slower to kill the weeds won't kill as good. The other thing to keep in mind, too, if you're going to use a normal dandelion spray, is if you're using it now when it's as hot as it is, if it's got 2,4-D in the mixture, 2,4-D is very quick to volatilize and drift in the air. So be really careful about that, too. I think right now, as hot as it is, I think I would stay away from doing any spraying if you can.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Roger is next, Dave.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Dave. I have a question about tomato plants. I've had trouble with blight. They look good yet. Could I spray now, or do I have to wait till the blight starts showing up?
I think I would wait till it starts spraying out, or starts showing up. The problem with spray for blight is you can do the spraying, but every time we get rain, it washes the spray off, and you got to spray again. With blight, you'll notice it on the bottom leaves first. You'll start to get brown spots in the leaves. The leaves will turn yellow, and it'll work its way up the plant. So once you start to see spots in the lower leaves, then it's time to start spraying. The other thing, if you're doing watering, make sure that you water early morning. Don't water in the evening. If you water in the evening, it's going to encourage blight.
All right. Another question, too, with tomatoes is that I get some blossom end rot, too, with a calcium deficiency. And when can I spray that? Or should I wait till the tomatoes are already gone?
Blossom end rot in our area typically is due to fluctuation of soil moisture.
Oh, okay.
So if you're watering good and you're gone on vacation for a week and it's hot and windy and you're not there to water, you're probably going to end up with a lot of blossom end rot. But if you keep regular moisture, usually it isn't a problem. It's much more of a problem in pot. In pots, you have a lot more problem than you do if you plant in the ground.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure, anytime. We'll talk to you again.
Julie is next up, Dave.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Good. Plenty warm.
Yeah, I know. I'm calling in regards to rhubarb. I've talked to you previously in past years, but I just want to make sure I have the information correct. We are trying to downsize a rhubarb bed at my father's home, and I couldn't remember if you stated the best time to transplant is either in the spring or early fall.
Well, that would be the best time to transplant, yes. That would be your best time.
Okay, so not right now, but spring or early fall.
Rhubarb is pretty tough. You might get away with doing it now, but it's a lot more likely to be successful after Labor Day or right away when it starts to come in the spring.
Okay. Oh, that's what I needed to know. I just needed clarification on it.
Sounds great. We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
This is Plant Talk on KFGO, and we will continue to take your calls and questions after this. Rich, you are next up. Brian, stay there. We'll get to you as well. We'll also try to get to some of these text club questions if we can. Of course, if you want to get on the phone lines, there's one more open for you, 237-5948. This is Plant Talk on KFGO. It's Plant Talk on KFGO. Retired horticulturalist Dave Decock joins us every Thursday during the growing season from 1 to 2 o'clock to take all of your questions. Back to the phone lines we go. We got a lot of work to do, Dave. We've had some great questions, too. Rich is up next.
Hi, Rich.
Good afternoon. Say, first of all, I'm driving hands-free in West Central Minnesota. I live in the Twin Cities. In your program, I planted 4 rhododendrons. Do you have any questions on late summer fertilization and or prep for winter time?
Did you get that, Dave? I know his phone is pretty soft. Did you get that, Dave?
He's talking about I believe he's talking about rhododendrons and fertilizing.
Yeah, and prepping them for winter. Is that right, Rich?
Yes, and I'm wondering about midsummer and autumn fertilization as well.
Okay.
Okay, the thing is, rhododendrons, there are some growing here. There are some hardy enough in this area, so I've seen people grow them. I would guess if you want to do some kind of a fertilizer program, make sure that you do it early enough in the fall so that it gets a chance. If it gets a spurt of growth from it, you want that to occur before you go into winter. So if I was going to do any fertilizing in the fall, I think I'd probably do it maybe just after Labor Day. Fertilize them, water it in good, and hopefully they will use it up before they go into winter. We want to make sure they're hardened off good before winter, so we don't want a lot of vegetative growth just before winter. As far as fertilizer, you're going to want to use some kind of fertilizer that's going to stimulate flowering. So it would be a fertilizer that the phosphorus is the high number on the fertilizer bag. And even something that's an acidic-type fertilizer would be good as well.
Does that answer your question, Rich?
Yeah, what about winter protection, like protecting the ground with mulch?
Well, a person could do that. You could put the ones I've seen here, they're an evergreen type, so the leaves stay green through the winter. So if you want, you could try putting leaves in bags around the plant to get some protection or to get some snow cover. Snow cover is the big thing. If they're exposed and there's no snow cover, then they're a lot more likely to have a winter problem than if they'd got good snow cover. So anything to give them good snow cover would be helpful.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you. We'll talk to you again.
Tune in the next time you're in the area. Find us on your app, kfgo.com as well. Brian is next up.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
Good.
We've got a lake place over by Walker, Minnesota, and a couple years ago I made about a 500-ish square foot planting area. Lilies, delphiniums, I've got Carl Forrester grasses in there. I've got a lot of stuff. My question for you is, with all that stuff, because we closed down the first part of October, I have to water regularly because I use the term loosely. The topsoil is only about 6 inches, and then underneath that is sugar sand. So
right.
I got to keep it well watered. Well, the mulch that I got from the local nursery up there, when I keep it as watered as I do, it grows a lot of mushrooms. So I want to pull all that mulch out, but I want to cut all my grasses and lilies and everything down. They're generally not dead by the time that we close up. Is it harmful to the plants if I cut them back too soon in the fall of the year?
Well, you don't want to cut them back so soon that they try and grow again. That's the only problem you'd have by cutting back in the fall. If you cut them back, it's late enough so that they're going to be cut back and they're not going to start to grow again, then it's not a problem. Now, typically with grasses, we don't like to cut grasses back in the fall. They typically are done in the spring. Most anything else you could cut back. If you're worried about winter damage, maybe don't cut it all the way to the ground. Cut it a little bit higher so it holds the snow. But grasses we prefer you don't do that till spring. Usually people wait till spring.
Yeah,
I was wait as late as you can to cut back, but you can certainly cut them back when they're still green. If it's late enough, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, it'd be like the second week of October, so it's
yeah,
not likely
I don't think
they grow
get
back.
Much. You shouldn't get a whole lot of new growth after that.
Okay. Then I've got some delphiniums that they're supposed to get up to 4 to 6 feet tall, but I can't get those things to get over about 18 inches tall. They're in direct sunlight.
That's fine.
Is there a certain fertilizer that will, or is it just not, because it's so sandy, do they not do well in the sandier soils?
It may be that. I know that here in the Red River Valley, they're fairly short-lived. So a lot of times they're good for one, maybe 2 years, and then they just die out. So we have a problem getting them to overwinter here. Fertilizer certainly would not hurt. The other possibility, of course, try another variety and see if that makes a difference. There is difference in different varieties, too, that may have some effect.
Well, I think I've got like 8 of them, and I've gotten them at eight different places. I piecemealed
this project together. Right.
None of them are taken on.
None of them get very tall. Now, they flowered already now?
They haven't yet. Over by Walker, everything's about 3 weeks behind the Fargo-Moorhead area as far as flowering.
Yeah, sometimes I've been able to, after they flower, cut them back, and they will actually flower again, but the second flowering is fairly late. Up there, you may not be able to do that, but I know here you can do that.
Okay.
You could try fertilizer. You know, use a Miracle-Gro or something over them and see if that gives them a boost.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Have a great 4th of July.
Sure, anytime. Okay, yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dean is next. Dave?
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Dave. Hey, just a quick question, if you could explain the three numbers on fertilizer. What do the three numbers mean? And you mentioned one fertilizer with high potassium or whatever. If you could explain those, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, the three bags. The first bag is nitrogen. Second bag is phosphorus. Third bag is potassium. Now, for anything flowering or fruiting, you want something where the middle number is the largest, the phosphorus. Now, if you look at your lawn fertilizer bag, almost always the first number is way bigger than the other two, and that's because with lawn, we're trying to stimulate a lot of vegetative growth, and the nitrogen is great for making things bigger. It's not so great for producing flowers or fruit, but it is good to stimulate vegetative growth, and that's why a lawn fertilizers and garden fertilizers, the numbers are totally different.
Okay, perfect. Hey, super. Dave, thanks so much. Have a happy 4th.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye, Dean.
Hey, and Dave, thanks so much for everything. This has been a great plan. Good questions this week, I think. Don't you think, Dave?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was busy. You can tell it's so hot outside that everybody's inside listening.
That's true. It is a warm one. Well, Dave, thanks so much for another great edition of Plant Talk. We'll see you next week.
Sounds great. We'll be here.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
See you later. You'll see him on the radio next Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock. We'll do this every Thursday during the growing season, of course. And this Plant Talk is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. You'll be able to listen to a podcast of this show after the show.